Come, you can collect it. How many of you from Penang? Oh, you yourself. Oh, never mind. This book can get to me. They are coming. Ah, Clifford, give to Clifford. This is the latest transcript book. Based on the talk in clan. Based on the talk in clan, yeah. Yeah. Based on the talk in clan, emptiness. A very good book. You slowly read through, you will develop the understanding. Oh, somebody is here. What time are we supposed to start? 11:30, yeah? We are still earlier. No, we are still early. Oh, sorry, 11:46 already, huh? Okay, maybe 11:50 we start, huh? Another 4 more minutes, let them get ready at the back. So, help to inform the kitchen people. Another 4 minutes, we start. So that they can plan accordingly. How many of you first time here? Oh, quite a number. Me too, first time here. My wife also first time here. Michael has been my schoolmate, same hometown for long years. We were in the same primary school and secondary school. Then it was, I think, almost since the year 1974, I haven't seen him, 73, 74, until now. Recently, about 2 or 3 years back only, I started meeting up with him again. So that was how Dhamma is like. When affinity is there, you will meet. When time is not ready, affinity still not ready. For so many years, even though we were classmates, we never meet. Then one day, he was at Subang, I think. Then he met Sui An. Then Sui An said, why not you join? College? Lum Chai. Yeah, Alostar. Yeah, Alostar. They all. Ching Kiap is Chinese educator. They are from Kiat Hua. Kiat Hua is the best Chinese school in Kedah. Their results are very good one. Then our school is the best English school in Kedah. So that's why when they came and joined us in Form 6, actually our school is a very famous school, Sultan Abdul Hamid College. Our school, every year, the students perform very well. In fact, my year, that year, was a very unique year. Almost the whole class, the top 2-3 classes, everybody did very well. There were a lot of doctors. There are a lot of engineers too. Then accountants. Because the condition was such, somehow during that time, when I look back at the Form 1 photo, I look at the Form 1 class photo, I say, never imagine, later on, all these people can become what they are. Especially me, the small fellow up there. That time I was very small size, very dark. My weight was undernourished. When I entered university Malaya first year, I was less than 100 pounds, 90 over pounds. But then my weight is very strange. The moment I got reasonable good food, first year, first semester, my weight shoot up to 109. From 90 over pounds. Then it stayed there until I graduate. After I graduate, again, the first 3 to 6 months, it shoot up to 130 pounds. Then stay there until my angel in the year 2013. Then after that, it stabilized again. So now it's at 55, 56 kg. 132 pounds was 60 kg. Then after the angel, the fat here at the tummy just disappear. 4 to 5 kg down. Then until now, stabilized. My weight is such, every phase it will stabilize. Oh, your son, huh? Oh, okay. Yeah, good. Sadhu. Oh, welcome, come, sit at the back. Oh, good. So, exactly 11:50, we can start. Okay. Before we start, I would like to thank Michael, Lu, and Sito, and family for inviting us over to their house, Dana, come gathering of Kayanamita. So as usual, this month, we have our Kayanamita come house, Dana, meetup. And this time around, the host is Michael, Lu, Sito, and family. They are very sincere Kayanamita. Even as Buddhist devotee, they have developed the understanding and the faith. And I really rejoice with their wholesomeness. Shall we thank them the usual way? Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. And I would like to rejoice with all the Kayanamitas who can make it and help to bring along a lot of food and offering. And like I always explain, such occasion, they are very wholesome and very unique, and a lot of wholesomeness can arise because we have good mind, we have understanding. Among Kayanamitas, because we have the Dhamma, we all keep our precepts. We are incapable of violating the basic precept of negativity that can lead to downfall or negative karma. Then apart from the precept that we kept, we also develop wholesomeness in the form of mindfulness and heedfulness. Because you develop the training of the mind through meditation, then you are ever mindful and heedful to be aware of your mental intention behind everything you do in life. You are very sensitive. Your mental intention behind all of your actions, speech and thought, you are very clear. Any selfishness, any emotional negativity, unhappiness, fear or insecurity or delusion, you are aware and you know this is not conducive for the spiritual life, for the holy life. It can bring about negative condition for negative karma to arise. Then your life will be afflicted. And because you understand the teaching, you know the cause behind all this, you will train your mind determined not to deviate from the nature's law. That's why the law of karma is very important. So I will explain further later on. So with this, we will have a very simple puja, so that we can develop the faith, the spiritual faculty or sadha. When you have faith in the Buddha and his teaching, your mind becomes very calm, very composed, and you have a lot of joy. Because he is such a great being. The Buddha is the fully enlightened one. He not only enlightened, no, he has developed the perfection of enlightenment. And you can say during his time, 2,000 over years ago when he arrived, he is the wisest and the most virtuous living being ever to be born. And he has great quality. He is a trainer incomparable, means a guide incomparable in the training of living beings to become enlightened beings. That's why he is a teacher of man and God. He can even teach the deities, the God, the devas, not only living beings. So all these noble qualities, when you develop the faith in Him, the gratitude in Him, your mind becomes very calm and very composed. And to have such a great being as our guide and teacher, we will have a lot of gratitude towards Him. And we are like very blessed. So our gratitude and respect towards Him will transform our mind to have this faith, which is the first spiritual faculty. When you have faith in yourself and the Buddha and His teaching, your mind will be very calm, very composed, and very different. You will have self-confidence, and you will do things very well. You will be able to accomplish great things when you have faith in yourself and the teaching, because you know, if I follow this teaching, I will not make mistakes. I will not get myself entangled with life anymore. I will do well in whatever I aspire to do, as long as I don't do it with delusion and negativity. So these are very beautiful teaching that you can take home today. So now we will start our simple puja. For those who are not familiar, you can just silence your mind and rejoice. Just listen to the vibration. For those who understand, we will chant together. The chanting book is in front of your seat, I think. If you don't have, you can request from Padma Suri. She has. Come, Susan, come. Come, England, come. We're just about to start the puja. So we will pay respect the usual way. The Buddha Rupang also there. You all can face that direction if you want to. Then some can face here. You just turn around there. Okay, let us compose our mind. Develop the faith. Sada. Then the virya, spiritual zeal, to go this way. Then we pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Yin Bodhisattva, and all the great beings. You want to make offering? Okay, we'll have a puja. Then we light. Yes, we light. Light the candle, and we get the Michael, Sito, and your children. Come. No, we got quite a number. Two candles, two incense. The lighter is there. There are six. Come. You can have six person. So we wait for a while they prepare the altar. Just nice. Come. It looks like the first lotus. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu is the Pali word for rejoicing. When you see people do wholesomeness, you rejoice. Your heart will open up. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This one is lighting the incense. Just now is the candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Some more. You need to like it a bit more. Okay. Good. Boy. The other incense. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So this is your elder son. Look like Michael. Actually, this one got the best of both worlds, the mother and the father. The other one, the white candle, the white candle. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Because this offering of candles and incense to the Buddha is a very, very meritorious type of offering. The other white candle, there's one more red candle, Sito. Sito like the last one. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sito come, the last candle. Just nice, the whole family, six of them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, Thank you so much. Okay, you all can be seated. Then we shall together make the salutation. After that, we will pass round the puja offering. We will chant the Thai tradition of paying homage to the Triple Gem. Arahang Samma Sambuddho Bhagava Buddhang Bhagavantang Abhivademi. Suakato Bhagavata Dhammo Dhammang Namassami. Supatipanno Bhagavato Savaka Sangho Sanghang Namami. Then we can all stand to pass the puja offering around. Then we will rejoice. When you receive the thing, you also rejoice with the wholesomeness. You say sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then you can make your own offering to the Buddha and Kuan Yin if you want to. Come, let us stand. Then somebody come forward. Oh, do you have a small tray? Small tray for this tree together. Because this tree need a small tray. Any tray, round or rectangle also can. The first offering are usually the offering of incense, clear water, and the candlelight, because they have great meaning. Later on, we chant, we will know the significance of such offering. Then, because they are very meritorious and very wholesome and very meaningful, so we reflect on them, then we contemplate on them, then we make aspiration based on our understanding of their great significance. Clear water, like you know, for you to have a clear mind so that you are not confused. It's okay, no need, never mind. This one go backward, these two in front. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Look, offer to be saying, offer. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Pass on to Brother Song. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu, 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 sadhu. You just rejoice, have this joy. When you see people doing goodness, wholesomeness, you must have joy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. This will help to open up your heart so that you are more happy. Otherwise, most people are moody. Full of envy and jealousy, you don't know how to rejoice with goodness and wholesomeness. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. That light, the other light, you can offer to. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Amen. The one leave it. Ekon in there, leave it. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Oh, it's okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 Sadhu is rejoicing. Like there is a lot of joy in seeing people doing good, doing wholesomeness. Then all these are very meritorious. Rejoicing is one of the 10 meritorious actions. And it has its merits too. So unknowingly, when we partake in this puja and this Dhamma Dana sharing, you have cultivated a lot of wholesomeness. Well, most of the time your mind is composed, calm with the spiritual faculty. Then you have mindfulness, you have heedfulness, you are at peace. Then you rejoice. Then after as we renew our precept, is also another meritorious action. Then your respect, reverential salutation is another meritorious action. Then later on, listening to the Dhamma, then you straighten your views. These are all meritorious actions, which are very, very wholesome and very meaningful. Then when you chant, you make your aspiration again. It brings about a lot of wholesomeness and goodness. Then it will create condition for you to progress along the path of Dhamma. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. The whole tree put inside. In front of the Buddha Rupa. Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. 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 We should all rejoice with the wholesomeness of all those who have made this offering possible. I think the bulk of it is from Michael Lu, Sito and family, and all those who have helped out and brought them. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Just put here. Okay, very good. Thank you. You can be seated. Maintain some form of wholesomeness. And calmness. Now you have your chanting book. Somebody must lend me a copy. I don't have. No, no. Do you have any extra? Are they at the back? Hanging at the back. That one. You go and get. Oh, okay. Oh, we don't have enough. You have enough or not? Otherwise you share. Some of you share. Okay. You turn to page 4. Turn to page 4. Turn to page 4. Then those who already know how to chant, you don't really need the book. Okay, you turn to page 4. Then we will start the official Vandana. Vandana is salutation to the Buddha. We will chant the Pali salutation. Then we will take refuge. Then we renew our 5 precepts. Okay, together we shall start the chanting. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo tassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Dutiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Buddhaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Dhammaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Tatiyampi Sanghaṃ saraṇaṃ gacchāmi. Pānatipātā viramanaṃ sikkhāpadaṃ samādhiyāmi. Ādina dāna viramanaṃ sikkhāpadaṃ สมาธิยานิโมสาsorry กาเมสุมิจฉาจารเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิมุสาวาทาเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิสุราเมรายามัจจาปะมาตะทานะเวรมณีสิกขาปะทังสมาทิยามิ We will now chant the puja offering. We start with Padipa puja offering of light. So the significance of offering of light. Gandhasarapatitena dipena tamadang sina tilokadipang sambuddhangPujayami tamonodang. Okay, I will read the English translation because there are many new people around, especially Michael and Sito's children and their cousins. So I will translate in English so that they understand the significance of offering of light. With lights brightly shining, abolishing this gloom or darkness,I adore the Enlightened One who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Ignorance is delusion, not understanding the truth. So when you dispel the darkness of ignorance, you can become enlightened. You can see the light of reality. Then we go on to Sugandha Puja, offering of perfumes, incense.Gandha sambarayutena upenahang suganghina pujaye pujaniyantang puja bhajanamuttamang. The meaning is, with perfume incense made from fragrant substance, we honor the exalted one.Or the fully enlightened one, which is the Sammasambuddha, Lord Buddha, who is worthy of respect, who dispels the darkness of ignorance. Then we will chant the Pupa Puja, significance of offering of flowers. Vanda Ganda Gono Petang Etang Kasuma SantatinPujayami Munindasa Siripada Sarorohe Pujemi Buddhang Kasumena Nena Punena Matena Chahotu Mokhang Pupang Milayati Yata Idang Ne Kayo tata yati vinasabhavang. The meaning of this mass of flowers, fresh hue, fragrant and beautiful, we offered at the sacred lotus-like feet of the noble sage. We offered the Lord Buddha this flower. May this virtue aid in our emancipation, means enlightenment.Our bodies also undergo decay, even as this flower must fade. Then the last one is Paniya Puja, which is offering of clear water. Adiva Setu No Bante Paniyang Parika Pitang Anukampang UpadayaPatigan hatu mutamang. O Lord, the Blessed One, please accept this clear water as an offering to Thee out of great compassion for us all. Now we will turn to page 18, the last page, to make the puja aspiration based on our understanding of the significance of all this offering. Understanding the significance of offering of light, candlelight, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of light to the Buddha bring forth the causes and conditions to illuminate our mind and help arise the needed clarity and understanding to dispel all darkness of ignorance therein. Understanding the significance of offering of clear water, we shall make the following aspiration. May this offering of pure, clear, cool water lead us to the pure, clear Dhamma that cools and doses off the fire of all defilements within our mind. Then, understanding the significance of offering of incense, we shall make the following aspiration. May our morality, virtue, and understanding shine forth far and wide, just like the fragrance of this incense, which we are offering to the Blessed One, who is perfect in wisdom and virtue. Understanding the significance of offering of fruits, may this offering of fruits remind us of the Dana Parami of generosity and the fruits of our karma, so that we will diligently strive on with heedfulness to attain the path and fruition soon as possible. Significance of offering of flowers. May this constant offering of flowers to the Blessed One strengthen our faith and constantly remind us of the impermanence of this body, so that we will diligently and sincerely strive on to cultivate sila, samadhi, and panya, leading to ultimate wisdom liberation, the one-free nibbana. For those who may not know the Pali term, sila, samadhi, and panya are three type of Pali term. Their meaning in equivalent English, sila is morality or precepts. You have to cultivate that first if you want to develop the understanding of the teaching. People who don't cultivate sila or precept or morality, they will have a lot of coming obstruction. They will have a lot of mental hindrance, because only evil people with the three evil roots will violate this precept, and because of that, they will have a lot of mental hindrance that will hinder them from becoming peaceful, happy, and having the good life. So this sila is the first that you must keep if you want to walk this path. Do not underestimate this virtue, because this virtue is very powerful. The moment you start keeping your precept, you avoid causing harm to fellow living beings and yourself, and karmic negativity to fellow living beings and yourself, your life will start to change and improve tremendously. Then after that, when you start to cultivate your mind, which is samadhi, samadhi is the training of the mind to be aware, to be heedful, to be mindful, and to have samadhi. Samadhi is a collectedness of mind, unwavering mind. At the moment of sense experience, when you live your life, everything that you come to experience through your senses, at the moment of your seeing something, hearing something, smell, taste, tactile feel or thing, you will be at peace. Your mind will have clarity. You are fully aware, heedful, and you have samadhi. That's why it does not stir and react. You don't get emotional. Samadhi is the quality of mind that is collected and unwavering. So with every moment of sense experience, if your mind does not stir, means you will never have anger, hatred, fear, worry, anxiety, envy, jealousy, all these negative tendencies, they were not there. You will be at peace. Then the last part is panya. Panya is wisdom. Without samadhi, there is no wisdom. Without samadhi, you cannot have mindfulness and collectedness of mind to see things as they are. And because of that, you cannot understand what is going on, the reality of life and existence, the nature's law that governs life and existence. You don't understand. And because of that, you lack wisdom. Then most of the time, the heedless, they are gripped with delusion, heedlessness, and they suffer a lot because of that. Now we go on to make our overall aspiration. By the power of all these merits, born of all this offering, may our spiritual faculties of Sada, Virya, Samadhi, Panya be further strengthened until they become balas. These are the five spiritual faculties that you will cultivate when you develop the training of your mind to understand this teaching. They are the opposite five that can counter the mental hindrance. Their Pali equivalent is Sada, Virya, Sati, Samadhi, and Panya. Sada is faith, confident in the Buddha and his teaching. Then Virya is a spiritual zeal or tenacity to walk this way, to cultivate this teaching after you have understand the significance of the great teaching and who the Buddha is and how special he is and how this teaching can liberate your mind, can make you enlightened, can transform you completely from a heedless person to a heedful person with all the wholesomeness, no more suffering. So this is something that will be very useful. Then with your heedfulness, you will have this spiritual zeal, virya, to determine strongly, sincerely to walk this way. Then after that, you will cultivate sati, which is mindfulness. Mindfulness is the silent mind, the mind that is just aware without thought, and that is the meditative mind. Then as you stabilize this mindfulness until you can be more and more throughout the day peaceful, aware and silent without all the heedless thinking, without all the unnecessary mental proliferation of heedless thinking, your mind become more calm, more composed and more peaceful. That's why it will accumulate into Samadhi, which is the fourth spiritual faculty, collectedness of mind. Then when you have them, wisdom will arise. So these are the five spiritual faculty. We make aspiration for them to be strengthened until they become balas or powers, unshakable. And when this happens, you will have no more mental hindrance. Your mind state will be very beautiful because all this spiritual faculty can make you understand the spiritual teaching very easily. You are most of the time aware, mindful, collected with the understanding you are heedful. And your life become very different. You are no longer like before, heedlessly lost in thought, don't know what is happening, having to confront life without understanding. Then the last one is, we will make the sharing and transfer merits to all beings who can receive them. Okay, we chant together. May these merits be shared and transferred to all beings without exception, especially to those who have the condition and affinity to receive them. Then we rejoice together. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will pay respect mindfully to Lord Buddha, Kuan Bodhisattva and all the worthy ones. We will together mindfully pay respect. Buddhang Pucchepe. Dhammang Pucchepe. Sanghang Pucchepe. Okay, very good. We have finished the puja. So now is lunch time. We will offer you the dana. But before we do, we have to accept the offering by rejoicing with all those who have made this food available. We rejoice with their generosity, their wholesomeness, their kindness, and their sincerity in preparing all this food. And most of this food they bring, they are very good food because they have this sincere intention to offer the best to Kayanamita. And such wholesomeness, generosity, they are a field of great merits. because you're offering to cultivators of the way, especially Kayanamitta, and these are very rare condition for cultivation of wholesomeness. Yeah. And it's very different. Yeah. So now, shall we together go to the back? Yeah. Then we shall together. Huh? Outside? I thought the kitchen is at the back. Oh, okay. So today for a change, huh? Like Yun Chan, last time Yun Chan also half outside, half inside. Yeah. So this time it's all outside. Last time, Padmasuri on all inside. Then Nancy on also all inside. So now we have outside in the garden. But do you realize this is a very nice, cozy house? And I rejoice because the energy is very good. So you all will feel the peace, and you all can silence your mind because this is a very good place with a lot of good vibration. And after our this Dana Puja, this place will be even better. It will shine for brighter, yeah, with all the wholesomeness, yeah, and your rejoicing. Yeah. It will make this place beautiful. Yeah. So I rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, now prepare yourself mindfully. Walk out. Then together we shall receive the offering and we will say sadhu 3 times. Eh? Testing, testing, 1, 2, 3. Oh, you all can hear. Okay, can all those who are still inside, come out. Join us. Join us to receive the offering. Look, give table here. You can tap. You can tap. Okay. Yeah, can. Are we ready? Okay, ready. Oh, not yet. Come. Some of you can come forward also. You just type each other. Okay. So we connect into a line. Ready? Okay. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So we rejoice with all the wholesomeness. And by the power of this wholesomeness, may it pave the way for causes and conditions for all Kayanamitas to realize their good and noble wishes as soon as possible. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, you can have your lunch now. So enjoy yourself. Have some good dana offering. Thank you. Testing, testing. 1, 2, 3. Okay, can we get everybody together so that we can start the sharing? Let those outside know. Ask them to gather here. Can we gather? Okay. Attention. Attention. We start now. So get them in to gather inside the hall. Then we can start our sharing. We had more than 1 hour of lunch, should be more than enough. You take more than 1 hour, means you are indulging. Okay. Maybe we can just have our simple salutation to the triple gem first. We will chant the Arahant, then we will start. Okay, compose our mind, develop the faith, sadha, virya, then mindfully we shall chant. Arahang sama sambuto bhagava buddhang bhagavantang apivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammam namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savakasango sanghang namami. Okay, you all can sit down. Relative, is it on? Okay. So, a very good afternoon to all, brothers and sisters in the Dhamma. So, I believe we had a very good lunch. There were a lot of very unique good food. I was told char kway teow also came in later on. Some of you might have sampled it, tasted it. So, like I said just now, we should thank Sister Sito and Michael Lu together with their family for giving us the condition and opportunity to be here, to attend and partake in this house dana, our monthly gathering of Kayanamitakam house dana occasion. Like I explained earlier on, this present to all Kayanamitas many opportunity and condition to develop more of the wholesomeness and fellowship among yourself, so that you can understand the great significance of the Buddha's teaching. When you have goodness, kindness, based on sincerity and understanding, your life will be beautiful. Your life will be very meaningful. Then the fellowship and the interaction can help support each other to walk the path of Dhamma. It is a very good way to develop what they call mutual understanding, mutual support. Then it also helps to motivate each other to walk the path. Then as we learn, we rejoice. Then as we see people progress, develop all the wholesomeness, we rejoice. Then we see how their life change and transform for the better, we still rejoice. Then we have gratitude for what is possible for us all. And this gratitude can bring forth a mind state that is very different. A living being that has gratitude has a good mind. You have gratitude towards all those who have supported you, helped you in one way or another, share with you all the good things of life, be with you when things are not going on smoothly. So all this a beautiful Dhamma. Because if you are Kalyanamitta who walk the path of Dhamma, who understand the teaching, you are very sincere. You are incapable of negativity. You have a good mind. You have love. You have compassion. You have sincerity, honesty, generosity. Then you have contentment. That is the most important. Living beings that don't have contentment and all this simple virtue, they make a lot of mistakes. They get themselves entangled in life. So ultimately, the real teaching, the real Dhamma is, after you cultivate, it transforms you, personality-wise, character-wise, into a much better human being or living being. When you are incapable of negativity, deceitfulness, emotional negativity, selfishness, you become beautiful. Yeah. That's the reason why, as Buddhists, we are indeed very fortunate, because not only we have this teaching, we have great condition to put it into practice. Then, at the same time, developing all the understanding so that we can be a blessing to all. To all of humanity, to all of your loved ones, to all of those beings that you have affinity with, even towards the environment, towards society, towards all of your encounter. There are some who have pets. I was told some they have pets like dogs, cats and all those things. And you look at all these animals, they are very sincere because they are not like human beings, so complicated in their thought process. So that's why they look very cute and they can feel you when you're not happy. They also know you're not happy. Then they will come near you. They will sit with you. They will not behave like those heedless living beings. When you are mindful, sensitive, you will start to feel many, many things that you never feel before. Because most human beings who are heedless, they are preoccupied with their thinking most of the time, worry about their own problem, worry about their own unfinished business and things that they need to do. So they think a lot, they worry a lot. So much so, they never have the opportunity to really understand life and go ahead to live life. If you don't have the Dhamma, you will be most of the time worrying about life, planning your life. So much so, you miss out on life because you never live. All of your worry, all of your unhappiness, which are your sorrow, your lamentation, your phobia, your unhappiness, they come from your own mind's delusion. Without delusion, you are a very beautiful being. A mind that has understanding and wisdom is always peaceful and full of joy. Nothing in this world can make them unhappy and miserable. They can confront the reality of life and existence without any problem. That's the beauty of the Buddhist teaching. And for the benefit of those who are new, who are still young, especially Sito and Michael's children and cousins or niece, I will just share a little bit about the essence of the Buddhist teaching. The Buddha, being such a great being, the fully enlightened one, he has already cultivated over a long period of time, they call it eons of birth and death, to develop this understanding. So after he became fully enlightened, he was able to summarize all his understanding of life, both the mundane and the supramundane. We can also term it as the materialistic aspect of life, and the supramundane as the spiritual aspect of life. Into just four noble truths. Very, very simple but very powerful truth. He called them noble truths because these are the truths that can allow living beings to understand life, to understand the secret of life, and to awaken to it, to become enlightened. And when once your mind liberate, awaken, and become enlightened, you not only understand life, you know how to live life. That's why this teaching is very unique. And you can become noble ones or enlightened ones. So that was the reason why the title is The Four Noble Truths, and is the essence of the Buddha's teaching. So under this Four Noble Truths, all of life, the mundane and the supramundane, they are all defined within this Four Noble Truths. We will deal with this Four Noble Truths one by one, slowly, so that you can develop the understanding. To me, when I first read about this Four Noble Truths, I knew there is no need to search, because there is no being who can just summarize all his understanding of life into just four noble truths, and they are so beautiful. The first noble truth, the Buddha explained clearly to all our living beings, all humanity, the realities of life and existence. He said, as living being or human being, if we live long enough, we will confront these realities. And he summarized them into eight, and they cover all aspects of your life. First four is very common, as Chinese we do heard about it, although most Chinese are very unhappy to talk about it. They call it like something that is not worthwhile to talk about. It's like a taboo they don't like, because it involves birth, old age, sickness, and death. And they dare not confront this reality, because to them, before you die, you don't talk about death. But they never give it a deeper thought. All beings, the Buddha said, you like it or you don't. Death is a certainty. We need to confront them. Everyone that is born will have to die. So if it's a reality, if it's a noble truth, why don't we give it a reflection, contemplation, so that we may develop that clear understanding to confront them when they arise without having to become afflicted by it or miserable over it. So this first four reality is something that we heard about, very common. Unless you are a true cultivator, you seldom reflect or contemplate. For cultivator, the Buddha mentioned the five daily contemplation for you to reflect and contemplate into life. And that will allow you to understand the first noble truth realities of life and existence, so that you will develop the contemplative wisdom and get ready to confront them when they arise. Then you will not be afflicted. Suffering will not arise. If you don't have this teaching, if you don't reflect and contemplate on this teaching, almost all living beings, the Buddha said, when you confront them without the understanding, the right understanding or wisdom, you will be afflicted. You will suffer. So take for example, old age, sickness, and death. These are very common reality. As we progress through life, we start to witness more and more people getting old. Some of us, we are in the process of getting old too. Then you start to witness your parents, your grandparents, slowly, having all those problems of old age, sickness, and death. Then like what we shared earlier on, as we confront old age, many things start to separate from us. And after the fourth reality, birth, old age, sickness and death, the Buddha said the fifth reality is separation. Separation from loved ones, our possession, our wealth, things that we hold on to dearly. So this separation can happen even before you die. As you grow old, I heard it over the radio. There was a lady who was supposed to be from a university, I think. They were doing this study about how to cope with getting old age, because they received a lot of complaint and a lot of inquiry regarding how to survive through this period of getting old, getting sick and die. And these are hospice people also. Then the question that this professor brought out was, he said, the most commonly heard complaint was, as you grow old, is it, the first thing they realize that they lost is their job, their financial stability, their income. He said, all this starts to separate from them. Then their health, they start to lose them. Then their hair, their tooth, many things start to fail them. Then all the various type of disease and sickness that come with getting old can be very traumatic, isn't it? Just yesterday or 2 days ago, I heard from Michael Lu, one of our hometown classmates, same kampong as Michael, opposite his house. 2 years ago, he got a stroke. Now he's still in the hospital, unconscious in Singapore. So this can be very traumatic. Then we also heard of many similarly traumatic cases of insomnia or eczema. Not eczema, Alzheimer. You tend to lose memory as you grow old, and that one can be really, really scary and traumatic. You don't have the time. Because many people just couldn't cope. My brother, eldest brother, told me, he said he saw the mother-in-law went through that. He was so, panicked himself. He said, I don't want to end up like her. Because that time the mother-in-law was just 70 plus, not really that old, 70 plus. She cannot even remember how to come home. She can just go out of the house and all of a sudden get lost and have to look for her. And sometimes they found her in places that they don't expect because she doesn't know where she was. Then there were many incidents. She was sitting along the street in one of the suburb area or city area. And by the time they located her, they talked to her, she was full of fear and she didn't know what is going on. She don't even recognize them sometimes. Then there was another case of my mother's hometown friend, older than her a bit. That was many years back. She got this problem also, Alzheimer. The daughter-in-law took care of her until the daughter-in-law also gave up. Because she, at the age of 80 plus, that one was older. She sometimes totally, completely forgot what is happening. She can just come out of the house and not wearing anything, Then just walk around. Then when you get her back, she also don't want to come back and don't know what is happening. Then she is incapable of controlling her bladder and all those things. So the daughter-in-law was having a very tough time. And that time, no maid as yet, during the early days. So these were the things. Then the medication are not cheap. Then many other things. Then disease, we know, very traumatic, SJBA, especially you are from the temple. You hear a lot of people getting cancer nowadays, like it's a very common thing. Heart attack, kidney failure, and a lot of other accident-related incidents. Even that day, the one of the SJBA, I think, the MC, the daughter was a doctor, Mrs. Lama. She was a doctor posted to East Malaysia. Then she was accompanying a patient under emergency. Then the ambulance got into accident. And she actually was very badly injured. Then initially lost consciousness. Become like was it a stroke or what? No, coma, just went into coma, a shock. But luckily after we did the Thursday puja, she become conscious again. But after she become conscious, the injury was very severe, so find it very difficult to even get her to sit on the wheelchair. And you can imagine the parent, what type of traumatic experience they have to go through. Until I was told both the parents has to go down there to look after her. They lost their ability to just get interested into life anymore because that thing was so traumatic. So life can have this possibility. And if you are not ready, you cannot understand. You can really be afflicted. Then even that day, even our sister Joyce, I was told, that's why the moment I heard the news, I read it, Love Metta. Then they told me she admitted really. She suddenly pengsan, due to lack of rest, I think. So that's why I sent the message. Then when I saw her, I said, you cannot do things until like that. You have to understand your body. You need to rest, you need to rest. I say, you still have Clifford to look after. No. You are not alone. No. You don't try to be a hero. No. And that time, as you know, some of the friends are very good. They help out. I think Clifford got a very good friend. He came and helped. Ong. Then Anne also. Then many. And many Kayamita was very concerned. Sito also went to hospital. To help out. Then I told them, forget about the talk. Let the whatever talk go on its own. You better rest. You need to rest. You rest. Dhamma is not like that. Understand? You have to understand yourself. You have your duty. Understand? You cannot just, oh, Dhamma more important. The Buddha never teach like that. Understand? Dhamma is important, but you should cultivate them when you are healthy. Understand? When you have the understanding, and you have to actually understand you have duty. You do your duty, then only you do your things. You cannot just because of Dhamma neglect your duty. That is not the way the Buddha teach. We have our duty in this world. As parents, we have our duty. After we finish our duty, we also have other duties. Understand? Because you are not alone in this world. There are relationships between you and your loved ones, and even within your friends and colleagues. And the reason why they can become your loved ones and your colleague or friend is because of past karmic affinity. And when you understand this affinity, you will know how to manifest and do your part to fulfill your role and perform your duty accordingly. That's why the chanting, salutation to the Sangha that day I share with you all, remember? The four great qualities of the enlightened being or the enlightened Sangha, Aryan Sangha, The Buddha every time chants Suppatipanno, Bhagavato, Savaka, Sangho. What are they? First, they are very upright in their duty, the last one. They do their duty properly. Then they are of wise conduct. They are very wise. They are not selfish. Then they have this upright conduct. Means they are very honest, very sincere, very upright in the way they do things and understand things and share things and perform things. There is no selfishness. There is no deceitfulness. There is no cunningness. There is no pretense. It's based on sincerity, faith, trust, honesty, then gratitude, contentment. Then the last one is of good conduct. They have very good conduct. Their speech, their action, and the way they go about communicating with people, doing all those physical things in life, they are very noble. That's why you have right speech, right action, and right thought. They have this embodiment of Noble Eightfold Path. Then they have right view. Then they will know how to live. So this teaching is very unique and very special. So when you understand all this, then you can confront all this reality, no problem. As long as you have this understanding, you will do your duty. You will make sure everything goes in accordance, even at old age or whatever, no problem. Even disease or what, no problem. That's why you don't have sincere kayanamita. When this thing happens, nobody come, everybody desert you. You make phone call, I am busy. Then, how you respond? Because this is karma. If you help people before, the coming fruition when you have problem, people will help you. But you are so selfish, you only take care of your own interests and your self-interest. Neglect others. You don't do your duty. So in future when you come, you will have parents who will neglect you. You will have spouse who will neglect you. You will have friends and colleagues who will neglect you. That's why we must have this Dhamma to have kindness, sincerity, goodness. To perform all this wholesomeness, to bring about good condition to help people. And that is your duty. When you do your duty well, when the time comes, the karmic friction, you reap what you sow. You will have people who will help you and do all these things for you. That's why all the parami will come. That's why you can say, wow, my brother, you're so lucky. Every time he got dana, he got spiritual treat, everything goes on so smoothly, and everybody is so happy. It's not to say I'm lucky, it's everything from the past. Every line you come, you have this understanding, you do things correctly, appropriately, in accordance with the Dhamma, you do your duty well, then everything will be the way it is. It will fall into place. You reap what you sow. You will be rewarded accordingly. That's why the three phases of Dhamma, remember? First is pariyati, the learning of the teaching. After you learn and you understand the beauty of the teaching, then phase two, you put it into practice in daily life. Not practice as a theory, you know. Talk only, cannot do what. Can instruct people, no, you must do like that, you must not cheat, you must not what. But inwardly, you yourself, you are not like that. That is not putting it into practice. When you cultivate it, means you become the embodiment of the Buddha's teaching. You have the Dhamma, you understand life, you understand the Noble Truth. When you understand the Noble Truth, you truly understand life, then you know how to live. So now I go back to the Noble Truth a little bit, so that we can finish off this one. After the fifth one is the sixth one, when you are with people whom you don't like, the Buddha said. And this one can actually happen in many ways. In the work environment, career line, when you have bosses that are not so understanding, not so kind-hearted, most bosses are not like that. Very rare or very seldom you meet one that is understanding and caring, who look after the welfare of their staff. Most of them, they are more keen in squeezing you to deliver and perform. That's why they learn this special management by harassment and fear. They harass you and put fear into you. And a lot of staff are under tremendous stress. Then the other aspect is, when you are with people whom you don't like, is within the family. When you face your mother-in-law or your father-in-law, then when you have to confront with step-parent for children who are not so fortunate, then even as student, you have to confront the bullies in the school. And there are also sometimes gangster or what that you don't like to be with. Then even separation can happen in many ways, not only through death, accidental death, nature's disaster, but also relationship failure that lead to divorce. It can be very traumatic. Then separation due to relationship failure, boyfriend, girlfriend, not married, but they decide to go separate way. And when you are jilted, when you go through the relationship affair, it can be very traumatic. Then forced separation because of crisis, financial problem. Then sometimes because of nature's disaster, like earthquake, tsunami, and all those things, building collapse. And these are the reality that can hit. Then during economic crisis, when you make the wrong decision, your business can just go. Then your wealth, your reputation, overnight can just go. Praise and blame, they happen to everybody. And regardless of even the Buddha, during his time, he was also blamed. When Chincha incident, remember? He was accused with a lot of things too. So the world is the world. Then the seventh reality is when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations in life are not met, when things don't go your way, like you expect to be promoted, you never get. Is there another colleague that you believe is not as eligible as you get promoted? Then you expect your spouse to understand you, or your brothers and sisters to understand you, to love you, to cite you, but the expectation doesn't come. Then you become very unhappy. Then when things don't go your way, means you strive very hard, you try very hard to realize something, to achieve something, but all the while you encounter failure. So when you cannot get what you want, when your expectations are not met, you will become miserable and unhappy. And this one, you look at it in detail. Most human beings have this problem. They arise this seven reality suffering almost every moment, every instant in their life. When you go through life, you need to engage your senses. You need to see things, hear things, smell, taste, tactile feel or think. Every moment of sense perception or consciousness, activity of mind, you react to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. So your like and dislike, pleasant and unpleasant sense experience, your stirring of your mind, your reaction to what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. These are the things that make you unhappy and not peaceful. And these are hindrances, sensual desire and ill will, the first two. That's why you become like, throughout the day, exhibiting this seven reality of life, not able to get what you want. That's why you react, you know, you are not happy. then you want to push it away. Then when you see something that you desire, you crave for it, you desire for it, you lust for it, but you couldn't get it, then this will drive you and make you evil, because these are evil roots, roots of all evil. So if throughout the day you arise this type of thought, it becomes a habit, habitual tendency. That's why this mental hindrance becomes habitual, it sets in. And this is what the Buddha meant by, you become heedless. And to the Buddha, if you are not mindful, attentive, and aware, with clarity of mind in life, you are a bit heedless. And the heedless are as if dead. You don't understand life. You don't have a spiritual life. That's why we meditate to train our mind to be more and more quiet, more and more silent, more and more peaceful, so that we don't have to arise the unnecessary wrong thought that will condition us into all those karmic negativity. What are wrong thoughts? Thought that make you heedless, thought that make you unhappy, thought that condition your fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation, unhappiness in life, thought that allow you to react with negativity, thought that make you selfish, fearful, insecure, full of anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. These are all wrong thoughts. Then why do you think that thought? But because you are heedless, that's why you cannot stop that thinking. You will grasp and hold and cling. But to you, it's very real. These are my problem. I got health problem. I got relationship problem. I got financial problem. I got career problem. I got my house problem, my car problem. So like everything is affecting you. Then when you attach and cling, means you don't know how to resolve them. You don't have to worry about them. Problem is only a problem when you perceive them with negativity, with delusion, when you don't understand life. But when you understand life, you tell yourself, like what the Buddha said, these are reality of life and existence. Each and every living being has to confront the same reality, no matter how severe. The only difference is the one that suffer and become afflicted are deluded. They go and worry about the problem. They go and project the thought. They go and react to all these things and become miserable. That's why the Buddha said, I also always say, you got two choices. React to it and become miserable, sorrowful, arise all the wrong thought. The other one is with the Dhamma. Understand that these are realities of life and existence. If I come to terms with this reality, if I accept them for what it is, happen already, what can I do? And then, I do not project my thought. I do not react. I do not arise the fear, worry, anxiety. I'm at peace. At peace means you are ready to act. You can see things clearly because you don't panic. There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety there. With that clarity of mind through meditation, you calm yourself down. Then you ask yourself, what are my options? These are reality that every living being has to confront, not only me. So if I know how to look at it with understanding, I will not have a problem. Then I will act. How do I act? I act with understanding, with the teaching, with Noble Eightfold Path, so that I can resolve things amicably without causing any negativity to anybody, not even to myself and to others. That's why they say resolve it amicably with what? Noble Eightfold Path. With right understanding, with appropriate right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And then we can move on in life. You have to focus on resolving problem and move on. When you perceive everything with wholesomeness, without negativity, then there is no fear, no worry, no anxiety. Then you tell yourself, oh, this is a blessing in disguise. If I don't hit this problem, I will not find out about this teaching. But because I hit this problem, now I got a chance to understand this teaching. And this teaching can be so beautiful. The moment living beings understand, they can liberate their mind and confront all this reality without any more fear, worry, anxiety, and problem. And this is what the teaching is all about. So first Noble Truth, the Buddha said, these are the reality of life and existence, he said. All of life, you will face all this. Then the last one, the eighth reality, is about meditation, the deep teaching. He said, in short, he summarized, all of suffering arise because of sakadity, self-delusion, wrong view. We think this human being, the form and mind, is what we are. And when we attach, we worry about this form and mind getting old, getting sick and die. We worry about it having separation problem. We worry about it having to live with people whom we don't like. Then we worry about it not able to get our expectation in life met. When we are not able to get what we want, when things don't go our way. So this delusion will condition the living being or the human being to grasp and cling, thinking that this is what you are. Not only the physical, even the consciousness, your mind, everything that you come to experience in life, your feeling, your emotion, then your perception of the world, your loved ones, your possession, your wealth, because to you it's very real, you perceive them. And through science, we all give birth to our children, that's why they are our children, like very real. But when you meditate deep into it, the Buddha said, you will come to realize this fine aggregate of form and mind, which is a human being, is not what you think you are. They are karmically conditioned out for you to use, to come to this world. That's why this physical body is like a vehicle to take you around. And it has the five senses that allow your mind to make contact and make you conscious of the world. This is how you know the world. And this is how you can interact with the world through your form and mind, senses. You can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile feel and think. And this is the dynamics of this form and mind. But this one is not you, like the Buddha said. When the time comes, consciousness separate, you say die. Actually, nothing die. It's just a separation of condition. Then the bond, the body is just element. No knowing cannot be you. And the consciousness, the mind, is very difficult to understand because there are two parts. You got a true mind, the true nature within, and the mundane mind, the thinking mind, the conditioned arising mind, that can make you miserable, afflicted. And when you understand that it's not you, then you transcend. You transcend mind, transcend thought. Then you can touch that nature. Then you understand that one, eternal life, never die. Meditation is about developing the training of the mind to silence, to connect. Then when you understand that nature is the eternal life that never dies, then you don't have to worry about dying. Who died? What died? Nothing died. And then when you understand this secret, you don't have to suffer anymore, the Buddha said. Because the final summary of the First Noble Truth, the Buddha said, in short, it is due to human beings' delusion. Their condition, their self-delusion to grasp at the fine aggregate of form and mind that he calls suffering. Why fine aggregate? Because as a human being, first aspect, the Buddha said, you have a physical body, the first aggregate of form, the physical body. Then you have a mind that is capable of four things. You can feel, aggregate of feeling. Then the mind can perceive whatever you come to know. It's through your perception. Like how do you know that this is a Buddha image? Through your seeing consciousness, you perceive it through memory. Then how do you perceive my voice? How do you know all these things that arise within your field of vision? It's through perception. So perception is the second aggregate of mind. Perception brings the external form into our mind. Everything that you come to perceive, the external world, phenomenal world of consciousness, you bring into mind through perception. Then as a human being we know the mind is capable of thinking, arising mental states, becoming emotional. And that is the third aggregate of mental activity and mental states. In Pali, the Buddha call it Sankara. And the last aspect of mind is, it is capable of becoming conscious of things. Because we have our senses, with the eye, we can become conscious of what we see. We have the hearing, the ear, we can become conscious of what we hear, what we smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think. So consciousness is the fourth aggregate. And the Buddha said, if you attach to this form, together with the physical body, you will suffer because you have been deluded. That feeling like very real. That everyone you perceive like your loved ones, your wealth, your property, your school, your enemy, or something like real because you perceive them and you hold on to them. Then all your views and opinion of things, all of your conditioning, your fear, your phobia, your whatever mental states, insecurity and all those things, your sorrow and your lamentation. If you hold on to this aggregate of sankhara, you will become afflicted. But to you, it's like very real. When you go old, you become very sick. You become very fragile, very weak, and you fear of dying because you cannot understand. You don't know who died, what died. So there is so much fear, so much insecurity. And that will make the living being very miserable. Because fear is a negative energy. Fear will not help you. Worry will not help you. It can never solve your problem. When you are gripped with this energy field, negative energy field, your immune system will go down and make you worse. And there is no peace. There is a type of very eerie type of energy. Whereas opposed to a mind that is trained, who meditate, able to become calm, peaceful, and heedful, with a lot of love and metta, a lot of positive energy, the immune system come up. There is so much joy, there is so much happiness, there is so much clarity, understanding, and peace. Then life becomes so different, so meaningful, so beautiful. Then all this reality got no power over you because you understand them. They are not what you think. They have the universal characteristics of impermanence. If you hold and cling, it will lead to suffering because all this follow nature's law. Thing is just the way it is, cannot be otherwise. If you want things your way, which is not accordance with nature's way, you will become afflicted. And because they are impermanent, it's not a permanent unchanging entity that you can hold on to, grab onto and cling onto and say, this is me, this is I, therefore all this can be mine. No such thing. You deludedly do that, you will fall, you will become miserable. That's why this teaching is very unique. So the Buddha said, after you have understood the First Noble Truth reality of life and existence, and you know that these are common reality every living being has to confront, then you better strive on with heedfulness to learn this teaching, so that when you confront them, you need not suffer like the rest. You need not have problem anymore. This is what the teaching is all about. Then after the First Noble Truth, the Buddha explained, he said, all of suffering, they arise because of a cause. That is the Second Noble Truth. So when you understand that all these problems come about because there is a cause behind it, you will know how to manage your life better. When you know what suffering is and the cause behind, you can manage your life better. So you must contemplate, reflect, and understand the cause. And the Buddha said the cause is none other than your sakkayatitti, self-delusion, the condition you do have craving, your like and dislike, your duality that you cling on to. Then after that, the Buddha go on to the Third Noble Truth. He says, in this world, when you have the Dhamma, the wisdom, the teaching, suffering need not be. Enlightenment in the here and now can be realized. And it's really true, can be realized before you die. Then he moved on to the Fourth Noble Truth because he didn't stop there. He didn't say it is possible, but he didn't teach you how to do. He even teach you how to do, he said, under Fourth Noble Truth. He said, if you cultivate this Noble Eightfold Path, which is the meditation as taught by him, you will realize the enlightenment, which is Nibbana, the bond-free enlightenment, that can lead to the end of all suffering. You don't have to suffer anymore. No more fear, no more worry, no more anxiety, no more sorrow, and no more lamentation. Everything is beautiful, meaningful. Now that is the third phase of Dhamma. After you have cultivated, the Buddha said, the fruition of your hard work, your cultivation in the phase two, then you get to leave this third phase, which is Pativeda. And Pativeda is the fruition or the reward from nature's law, from the hard work, the cultivation that you have put in. And during this phase, it is the best part of your life, because you live the life of a noble one, enlightened one. And when you have this noble understanding, when you have this wisdom, you become so beautiful. Life becomes so wonderful, so meaningful, so full of joy, so full of peace, happiness and understanding. Nothing in this world can make you unhappy or miserable anymore. Nothing can cause you to be deluded, to be afflicted. You were all the while, despite confronting the First Noble Truth reality, still at peace, have joy and happiness. You are not deluded. Your mind states are very clear because of your heedfulness and your mindfulness. Because you have touched the inner mind, the true mind, and you have known what the deathless element is. Nothing dies. So this is a very important summary of the essence of the Buddha's teaching, the Four Noble Truths, that I want you all to develop clear understanding. Then there are many benefits of this type of teaching, because it starts with training your mind to be heedful, and that is meditation. So meditation can bring about a lot of benefits. I finish this, then we can open up for questions. Benefits of meditation or cultivating this teaching is, first, it will train your mind to have inner peace. Inner peace is very difficult to come by for most people. When you have problem, fear, worry, anxiety, you want to be peaceful. A lot of people who got insomnia and depression, they can't even sleep, I tell you. People who got problems, stress. To have a moment of peace, to sleep well, is like very difficult to come by. But for Kayanamitta cultivator, it's so easy. You want to sleep, you just sleep. Because you don't carry things with you. You have heedfulness, you have awareness, you understand life. Your mind is free. Your mind understands the reality. Need to use. After that, that's it. Because they are all not what you think. Their characteristic is impermanent, leading to suffering when you deludedly grasp and cling. And because they are impermanent, it is anatta, non-self, not you, empty. So this reality becomes very clear. Then as you train your mind to be mindful, heedful, without thought means what? There is no fear, no worry, no anxiety, no sorrow, no lamentation, no envy, no jealousy, no fear, no insecurity. All those negative mental states, no more. Then there is just silence, stillness, tranquility, peace. That mind is the meditative mind. And that mind brings about a lot of inner peace. Then when you have inner peace, you can radiate love and metta. That's why it brings about inner well-being. You can start with your own form of mind. May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. Well and happy. You feel the well-being and happiness deep within your entire body and mind, your entire being, each and every cells within your body. Then this body will have this positive energy. Then this cell will become like full of love and metta, inner well-being. And it will boost your immune system, because all these cells, the summation of it become your consciousness. Understand? So when you have a lot of inner well-being, a lot of love and metta, because you radiate it, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well. You feel the well-being and happy and the happiness and joy with it. And when your mind is peaceful still, there is so much joy. We call it piti, spiritual joy, spiritual rapture or spiritual peace, born of a calm mind, a mind that is mindful, heedful, without thought. Without thought, it cannot project. That's why there is no fear, no worry, no. It's just silent, beautiful state. So inner peace and inner well-being are the first two distinct advantages of the Buddhist meditation and the Buddhist way of training the mind. Then after that, you use this mind to cultivate wisdom. Because when you are peaceful, silent, and aware, you have clarity, then you can see things as they are. You don't see things like before. Well, before you think a lot, you worry a lot. Whatever you see is from the conditioned mind. Conditioned mind means from your views and opinion of things, from your reaction, from your fear, your worry, your anxiety. That's why Krishnamurti is acting according to memory, it's not acting at all. So you cannot act according to memory. Because you act according to memory, you are acting according to your fear, your conditioning, your wrong view, your worry, your anxiety, your delusion, your emotional negativity, your selfishness. All this is going to bring about downfall. But when you have the Dhamma, you will act according to wisdom, according to understanding, according to that clarity that you see, where you start to see things as they are. Means you are not deluded by what you see, by all those that manifest within your conditioned mind. You see without words, without label. When you see things as they are, without words and without label, that is pure see, direct see, then the silence will awaken to the characteristics of nature. Then you understand, A, they are not what you think. Before, through delusion, you use thought, you use memory, you act wrongly. And now, when you see clearly, you start to understand how you living being get into trouble. How through your wrong view, you react and stir your mind. If you don't hold on to this wrong view, if you have love and compassion, you can accept them for what they are, then you become at peace. Because deluded people do deluded things. Selfish people do selfish things. Ignorant people do ignorant things. Emotional people do emotional things. They are just the way they are, no right, no wrong. So if I can accept them for what they are, means what? No matter what happens, I am at peace. Then only I act with wisdom, act with right understanding to overcome all this life situation amicably so that nobody get hurt, so that you don't offend anybody, so that you can still be at peace with them. Then heedless people, if you have to avoid them, you avoid them, no problem. You just have to tell them nicely, it's okay. If you want to be right, it's okay, you are right. Right according to him. So no need to argue. If you need to say, I'm sorry, I have caused you any misunderstanding or unhappiness, they will not argue with you anymore. But if you got a lot of anger and wrong view, then you start to argue with them, trying to be right won't solve your problem. It will lead to what? Argument, misunderstanding, conflict, suffering. So Dhamma, when you understand, you can apply it very well. So the benefits of meditation, inner peace leading to inner well-being, then clarity of mind to understand, then you develop the wisdom. And these four benefits are very important. Then when you have this wisdom and understanding, the fifth benefit is you can sleep very well. Because you got no worry, you don't carry anything. Because with this clarity of mind, inner peace and inner well-being, you want to sleep, you just sleep, because you understand. Then you also can study very well, because you have clarity of mind. Then you become very efficient because you got no fear, no worry, no anxiety. You are always at peace. And you know how to weigh your option. And you know how to make appropriate, better decision in life. Because without fear, you make better decision. Yeah. When you are confident, you make better decision. Then when you make the appropriate decision, it will actually condition you to have good outcome. But if you have problem and you go and trigger all your fear, your worry, your anxiety, in that state of negativity and restlessness of mind, how can you have clarity to make a good decision? That's why you make more mistakes. That's how living beings become more miserable, unhappy. Because they don't know how to calm themselves down. They don't know how to develop the ability to be peaceful, to have clarity, to write down clearly what is happening, what is the real situation. Then after that, these are reality. So what are my options? How can I move? How can I resolve this amicably without hurting anybody? And this is wisdom. This is sensitivity. And then you can be at peace with your spouse, your daughter, your loved one, your colleague, your friend. You don't have to argue with them, offend them, or get angry over them. You can develop good relationship and understanding by following the Noble Eightfold Path, the Dhamma way which the Buddha taught. Having the right understanding or right view to arise the right thought, right speech, right action, and right livelihood. So this is what the teaching is capable of giving you. So I hope you all can develop benefit from it. Okay. So with this, I will end my sharing. If you got any question, you can ask. What's the time now? Oh, still early, 2:23. The mic is here. Anybody wants to ask any question or share anything, you can. While I have a drink. After the good food, you have the sharing. Then now, it's your turn to ask questions. Or you can share something if you like. Anybody? As usual, very quiet. But I can see a lot of happy faces, a lot of joy. So this is a good sign. As living being, if you know how to live life, then life become very meaningful. If you don't know how to live life, I tell you, life can become very miserable. And if you don't know how to confront life, you will suffer. That's why the Buddha said, strive on with heedfulness. Do not be heedless. Sister Lian from US, come back. She got question. Pass the mic to her. She got a lot of questions. She witnessed her grandchildren. So beautiful.
I don't have question, but I would like to share.
Oh, very good. Sadhu. Good.
The beauty of having a grandchild, and many of us say that mother-in-law got problem, daughter-in-law got problem. No, we had a beautiful relationship. I and my daughter-in-law get on so beautifully well. And it was like 3 months of joyful moments, a blessing and God bless. And I felt so, I must have done something good. All of us must have done something good for such a blessing. That's all I have to say. Thank you.
Also to add on, the daughter is a Christian. That is the best part. That's why not the religious label, it's your understanding. If she is like so rigid, the daughter-in-law cannot marry into the family. You're not Buddhist, Christian. Double A. Then how? But despite being Christian, because earlier on Sister Lian shared with me quite a lot of things during the came on retreat before the baby was born. She had a few of these moments of what they call, she felt, even when the grandchild was conceived at the moment, because of Kuan Yin and all those things, she felt. Then the phone call came, really, the daughter-in-law said conceived. Then after that, there was so much joy. Then he can get along with the daughter-in-law so well because she got understanding, goodness, and kindness. Then after that, she told the daughter-in-law she will go down and help her with the confinement delivery and help to look after. That's why now she is back after 3 months. 3 months. So you look at her face, you know, she got so much joy and such a good time there. Then before she come back, she already had those understanding. That's why she said, well, Theo, I'm going to miss your class. But she said, no problem, all the recording were there. And Sui An, very efficient. Pity he's not here today because of meeting. So the recording has helped a lot. And nowadays, with technology, distance is no more a problem. It's no more something that you can like justify to say, ayo, because I stay so far. Now, internet has made it possible. It's not the distance now. It's whether you want it or not, whether the heart wants or not. Then these are possible. So I really rejoice with her understanding and good relationship with her daughter-in-law and also with the family members, the children. Use the mic, yeah. Push it out, all the way.
Before my grandchild was born, I actually saw her birthday. And I took a photograph. That was when I was on a retreat in Thailand. I took a photograph and I told my son, I was more or less been told of the child's birthday. So the day before the birth, I told my son we need to have steamboat. Then my son said, why?
Sada.
I said, we need to rejoice.
Yeah.
And then I said, I need to clean up your car. He said, why? I said, no, I need to clean it up. So I spent about 3 hours cleaning up the car in the hot sun.
Sada.
And then came back and do a steamboat. And true enough, that night, my daughter-in-law waterbagged us.
Yeah.
And that was actually 2 weeks early. And then I showed my son the photograph, which I took the birthday. And it was the exact day.
Sadhu.
And
that's when all these are possible when you have the spiritual cultivation and understanding.
And I have so much faith in Techawang Pusat.
Yeah.
So I evoke his name 10,000 times in gratitude to my grandchild and devoted to her. And I read the sutra and devoted to her. So when my brother-in-law was having a labor, I evoked
again
Tenong Pusat's teaching. And the moment the that moment the iPad hang.
Oh, sadhu. Very good.
And when the iPad hang, I said, oh my God, why my iPad hang? And then my phone ring.
Yeah.
And my son said, mommy, the baby
news.
Is born.
The good news. The good news came.
And the good news came, the baby is born.
Sadhu.
And in gratitude for all that, even my daughter-in-law, which is a Christian, agreed to become vegetarian for
me. Very good. Yeah.
Sadhu.
That's why all this are possible when you have the Dhamma. She has been a super mom doing her duty very well all this while. Now is super grandmom. So you look at how energetic she is. She is a dentist. She got strong arm. This is what I used to pull my patient's teeth. So she has strength. Then she has faith. That's why all these are great parami or great spiritual mind state. that can help you to understand many things and to develop the cultivation. I remember when she first came to the retreat, 2 years, I think almost 2 years ago, you have been to 2 retreats. I think, yeah, 1 over 2 years. She that time was very intellectual. And initially, I remember she asked many questions. Then initially, when I explained, I say, "It's your thought." She don't agree. Then later on, only she came to realize that it is the thought. Then she came and talked to me when we were having our, you all were having your meditation, I think, because about the incense that make her like. She cannot, initially she cannot tolerate that smell. Every time that type of incense, Padmasuri make the offering every morning, then every time kena, she will react to it and all those things, like nausea and all those things. Then she asked that question. I say, you investigate into it, you will know. It's your thought. It's your conditioning, your phobia. If you silence everything, then you find out for yourself. And later on she came back to me and said, Yahavadil, really what you say is the thought. Because later on she can, but she actually determined to test, to find out. Then later on the incense doesn't disturb her. Then from there, after that, very strange. Virochana Buddha, the nature down there, and together with all the great beings, she got affinity also. Well, I don't know her at that time. She first time went for the retreat, I don't even know her. I didn't even know she was on the retreat, because that time Yun Chan, they all, Sui An, they all were having the list. Then she was from Subang. And because of her, what happened was, that thing happened, then many things happened. Then a lot of those Kayamita from Subang got a lot of faith. Because last time they don't believe Mahayana. Especially Envy, that session she cried. She said, how come this life she got this type of view that Mahayana is not something she can easily accept or come to terms. So later on I explained to her. But it was because of their retreat, many of them have faith. Then they start to go down there and talk to all those great beings. Then those who are sincere, they also develop ability to have the affinity to connect. Then they start to have faith because they start to progress along the path of Dhamma and many things. Then after that, she attended the class. I think quite frequently for the next 1 over a year. Then later on, a lot of things happened too. We went to Sumeru. Then there were also many other things. We had a lot of important sharing. That's why the book came, the transcript came. Many things just happened. Over the last 1 or 2 years, a lot of things happened. Before that also it happened, but not at such a fast rate. That's why Kayanamita force is moving very fast. So you have the faith and you are heedful, you will progress, you will benefit tremendously. Let us rejoice with what Lian has developed. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. So these are the things that is possible. It can really transform your understanding, both character-wise and also personality-wise. She used to read this book. She got one book on virtue. And last time she first day gave to me. Then later after I explained, then only she started to understand the virtue that the book talked about, and what she earlier on understand was from the thought base. But later on, with the cultivation, with the understanding, that virtue is from the nature, is totally different. It's not the word, is the actual realization of what those virtues are, then the mind and the understanding become completely different. Then that's why it can manifest. Then she also went to Thailand with Brother Song. That one must thank Yun Chan. Where is Yun Chan? Yun Chan. All went back already. I think it was Chui. The other one is Chui. Pusa Chui. You went one trip, isn't it? Oh, you didn't go with them. Oh, Wat Nan Long. You went to Wat Nan Long. I thought, oh, Joyce, what? You went with Joyce. The last Dubai etiquette one, you remember? You went with Joyce. Acha Anana Rayong, she went there, I remember. Where she was the one who agreed immediately and buy the ticket last minute. I remember. So that trip, he took quite a number down. So all this, like, just fall into place. Meant to be, will be, because he said, earlier on, you just asked her, but she didn't go. Then she did to me and said, next time got chance, she go. Then when George called up, didn't even hesitate, straight away asked her to book ticket. Then next day fly, see? Spontaneous. So these are the things that just happen. Then when it's meant to be, you will know. That's why all these spiritual trips, they are very special. And they can really enhance your spiritual journey, help you to move in a very different way to your faith and understanding. The spiritual faculties of faith is very important. When your faith is there, the rest will follow. You must have strong faith. Okay? Anybody else want to share or ask any questions? Ah, yes. Brother Raymond, pass the mic over.
Thank you. Just want to do a little sharing. Firstly, maybe we'll talk about Lian first. We went to Wat Na Long, and early morning we went to a little nice, what do you call, mostly for the Mechi one, that little room. And I was already into all these uplifting things. One of the things is I came to love incense. So I burned a nice incense. Mm-hmm. So I burned the incense, and then we went into a little 10-15 minutes meditation. Then after that, the incense was missing. So I had an attachment to admit that. So when I saw the thing missing, I was a little bit agitated. I look around, and then Brother Sivan was very quick, and then turned, oh, Alien. So I had to come to terms of it about, and there was a lesson I learned that what I might find as uplifting may be not so to other people. Yes. So I learned to accept that. So anyway, there are some feelings, not so nice feelings, but I think we got away it, and I was quite shocked when I blast out a few months ago that, do you have any context for anybody who has cars want to rent out, because at that time my operations manager just joined us, and she from US wrote through the WhatsApp, you can take my car, it's okay. I mean US. So I was quite shocked for a moment. I was thinking, which Alian is this? So Alian, thanks for the two lessons I learned from you.
That's why when you have affinity, when you meet sincere Kayanamita, this thing can just happen. Who will just lend you a car like that? So all these are something that you can learn, because when you have kindness and goodness, it becomes your karmic inheritance or parami. That's why in future, if Lian need car, there will be condition for car to appear, even in US. Somebody will volunteer, you can drive mine. Because you reap what you sow.
Brother, can I share?
I have a lot
of experiences with the Dhamma.
Very good. Share.
But I will not share my own, because some are very ridiculously miraculous. Brother, Sister Joyce knows a few. I want to share about my daughter. She's very funny. We put her through primary Chinese school.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, we saw her struggling with the Chinese language, culture, and their discipline.
Oh.
All of us know you in the Chinese school is straight line. Stand up, same height. Sit down, same height. You know, so you stick out and they beat you with a ruler. And she literally got beaten many times. So at the end of her standard six years there, we move her to a English school. MGS to be exact in Penang.
Methodist girls school.
And she had a very hard time because it's not so easy, because you already, you know, one culture, one thinking, one mindset, you move into another.
Yeah.
Although that doesn't seem comfortable, you want to move another. She had a very big time sort of absorbing, being accepted. Okay, and we cut the story short. Her affinity is always more towards the West.
Oh, okay.
So she went through school. She went like up and down lah. Standard 6 okay, did well. Form 3 flop, went down. Mm. Didn't flop lah. She did about, I think 4 A's.
Yeah.
Wasn't up to expectation. Then suddenly she sprang back. 4, 5, 8 A's. And then after that, we thought, hey, with 8 A's you can go and get, university entrance, private, or especially private, they give you a lot of assistance.
Yes.
She refused to go. She said, I want to study Form 6.
Oh, okay.
And I have gone through Form 6. My wife has gone through Form 6. You know, it's a crazy 2 years. But she insisted. She said, okay, if you so insist, go.
Yeah.
She had an agenda. She went there to MBS, MGS Form 5. She go to Methodist Boys School. Her agenda was actually to become the head prefect.
Oh, okay.
She became the head prefect.
Yeah.
But being a boys' school, they cannot confirm her as a head prefect. So she could become the head girl.
Oh, okay.
And they had to appoint another very junior boy to become the head boy. So that on the scroll board, it will be head boy, head girl, no head prefect. Because it would be very shameful for 2013 to have MBS head girl, Janice Low. So her story goes that she actually wanted, she was very clear in her mind that she wanted to go to US.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't understand, we told her, Singapore, no. Australia, no. I say, local university, twinning, no. She just wants to go to US.
Yeah. Nowadays kid is different.
Yes.
They are very and clear about what they want.
2 years ago, I did the retreat out in Cameron, Ajahn Chalo's retreat. Then after that, I brought the Sunday school, including my whole family, she went there. And then I told the whole Sunday school, including my daughter, I said, look here, if you do not know the power of aspirations and affirmation, I want them to do it now. So in the big hall, I told all of the kids, I say, go in there, do whatever donations, your wholesome acts, make an aspiration. And my daughter took it seriously. She went inside that big hall, she made aspiration. I want to go to US, show me how. Okay, now, the story is not so simple. In US, it's all SAP. If you all know that you want to go to good schools, you want to get financial aid, or you want to get what they call scholarships, it's all about SAP.
Yeah.
SAT, sorry. Yeah, SAT.
Set.
It's not easy.
Attitude test.
It's not easy.
Yeah.
To hit 2-3 or 2-2 is crazy. You have to be almost perfect. She did until about 1-8. And she did once, twice. I don't know whether 3 times. I remember twice. And she almost like on the verge of breaking down. I told her, no, don't. You don't have to. So she was thinking, what else can she do to get to US with 1,008? Okay. She worked her way. She went to Macy, she became the good friend of Macy, the person running Macy in Penang, Barbara. She helped her a number of times, and in the process, she got help from Barbara, and Barbara sort of pushed her case also for her. Mm. And now she got into Minnesota, St. Cloud State U, and with assistance so much that I cannot say no. She come to me as I cannot say no. How much? 4 years straight sign on, $16,000 per year, fees, food, and lodging.
Yeah,
included. I couldn't say no. He comes to me and say, "Dad, I've done this." I say, "Go ahead, lah." And now she's in New York right now with her cousin. 48 hours there. Exactly, she touched down about 3 o'clock.
Oh, sadhya. Yeah.
So this is about the lesson I learned about, you know, wholesome acts,
yeah,
and making aspirations. And not only that, just forgot to add, this year, she made her aspiration at that Sampo Temple, 2013.
Uh-huh.
This year in May, when Ajahn Achala was having, is it May or July? May. When she was having the retreat, I registered myself and my wife. My wife was supposed to go, but she didn't have that good karma. Instead of getting her optional retirement on 1st of May, she got it only on 1st of June.
Oh, okay.
So, I really told Joyce, log in two places, and don't know whether I paid or didn't pay. And I say, I will get a replacement. So I approached my daughter. I said, "Girl, would you like to go?" But I sort of like force her to go lah. Sort of lah. And luckily she didn't say no. I forgot that in between the retreat was her 21st birthday. That is May 19th, Tuesday. I forgot totally. As a father, I was just thinking, this is my gift to you, Dharma gift to you. Go. Mm. Right? But I forgot that it was her 21st birthday, and to a girl, 21st birthday, she would probably have a whole fresh of appointments, who to meet, what to party, da-da-da, and so on. Okay? But she did come back to me 1 week before. Took a long time. She said, "Okay, then I'll go." I was very happy that she went. Very, very happy. I was so happy that I drove her up. I didn't have the opportunity to go. I drove her. I came down to work. Friday, I go up there and fetch her back or so. And she said that first 3 days, terrible. Pain here, pain there, pain. But after that, she went to a very deep peace. So deep a piece where on the almost the last day when you all took the group photograph, she was walking up to Ajahn, and Ajahn came up to her and said, "You did well."
Yeah.
Ajahn read her mind, and she was like mind blown. She told me, "Dad, Ajahn read my mind." I told her, "Well, that is your gift." And the story didn't end. She went back. A couple of days later, she got a courier from St. Cloud State University, I-20. She got it. So she went there to make the aspiration 2013. She went for the, what they call, retreat on 2015. Couple of days later, she went back and she got that letter.
And sadhya.
You asked me to put the puzzles, the what they call the jigsaw puzzle together, I cannot understand, but it just works. Right?
Yeah, thanks for the good sharing. So when you have faith, when you have goodness, when your mind is strong, many things are possible. Especially if you have wholesomeness and you know how to make the pure aspiration. Aspiration is part of nature's law's way of getting things done correctly. You must know how to make appropriate aspiration. You invoke power of merits for causes and conditions. How it happened, no need to know. Let nature's law take its course. If you do it sincerely, there will be a very strong response. Cultivator of the way will know, because aspiration is one of the 10 perfections to be a Sammasambuddha. They call adhitana, or in Thai it's called adhitana. you have to be good at that for you to fulfill the perfection. So this is something that you all can learn. Aditana, or aspiration. Even the Buddha during his time teach the monks and living beings how to do aspiration. The most common one which he introduced is the one that you all chant every closing puja. Ipmina punyang kamina mami bala samakamo satang samakamo hotu yawa nibbana patiya. So this one, I think most of you know the meaning. Ipmina punyang. Punyang is your good merits, your wholesome merit. So by the power of this wholesome merits, may it arise the causes and conditions for you all to avoid the foolish or the heedless, meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, so the enlightenment in the here and now, Nibbana, can be realized as soon as possible. So that will help you to direct your wholesomeness towards avoiding the foolish one, the heedless one. And this is very important. If you don't avoid them, chances are you will be conditioned and influenced by them. And you don't make aspiration to meet out the wise and the enlightened one, you can also make a lot of mistakes. Then you may not have the condition to develop the Dhamma understanding so easily. But if you make such aspiration to meet up with the wise and the enlightened one, then the condition is there for you to receive proper Dhamma instruction. Then for you to develop the faith to walk this way. That's why all these aspirations, they are meant to help cultivator to move along the path of Dhamma. Okay? Anybody else? Otherwise, we can stop. We got almost 3 o'clock already. 7 minutes. No more questions. Then maybe we can do our closing puja. Compose our mind, recall to mind all our wholesomeness. I forgot one thing. There's a sister Chui who can't come, but he requests for metta to be sent to him. So I will tell her, no problem, we will do it. So sister Chui just now, this morning, texts us, she's supposed to come, but she got this eye problem. She got hypertension, the pressure, blood pressure shoot up very high. She got diabetic. Then the eye was not stable. The doctor said she need to take medication and rest. Then she is resting. But as she was resting, she wrote and apologized because she promised Sito and Michael to come. Then she wanted to fetch me, but I said, Michael already fetching me. He said, then I fetch you back. I said, okay, I agree. Then last minute, she cannot come. So she felt so bad. I said, don't worry, just let things be. Then she requests through Michael, I think, but forward the WhatsApp to me though. So he said, please do ask our group after the session to radiate love, metta, and wish her well. Okay, we shall do that for her. We shall recall to mind all of our wholesomeness over the last, I think, 3 hours or so. May this wholesomeness arise the causes and conditions for our sister Chui to recover to good health so that she can have her blood pressure, the eye problem, and her diabetic under good control, so that she can recover to good mind state, to regain back her life, to do the thing that she wants to do. Then also, by the power of this wholesomeness, may arise the causes and conditions for all Kayanamitas, and all those who have been part of this house dana, may arise the causes and condition for all of you to realize your good and noble wishes soon as possible. May there be love, may there be peace, and may there be joy deep within your hearts. Then we rejoice. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Then now we will do the sharing of merits, transfer of merits. I will chant the Pali, then you make your aspiration. Then after that, maybe we can have 2 minutes of metta radiation to Sister Chui. Okay. Akasata Chabumata Devanaga Mahindika Punyang Tang Anamoditva Chirang Rakantu Lokasasana Itta Vata Chamehi Sampadan Punya Sampadan Sabbe Deva Anamodantu Sabba Sampati Siddhya Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Idang me nyatinang hotu sukita hantu nyatayo. Imina punyang kamina mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nivanna patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, we will have about 2 minutes of metta meditation. You can read it, your metta around, and also to Sister Chui. And wish her well-being and happiness so that she can recover from her condition soon as possible. Okay, then I will give you all, I don't have a bell today, I will give you the signal after 2 minutes. You can now start your metta. Okay, thank you so much for helping out to really love and metta the tree and all beings. So with this, maybe we will end by having our final salutation to the Triple Gem. So develop the faith, sadha, virya, then we pay respect mindfully to the Triple Gem. Arahang sama sambuto bhagawa buddhang bhagawantang abhiwademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namassami. Supatipanno bhagavato saukasango sanghang namami. Okay, so we would like to thank Sito, Michael Lo and family and all those who have helped out in one way or another to make this condition for us to be here today, and also to all Kayanamitas for making themselves present today. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. You all need to help Sito to clear out the place, and some of the food extra you might have to bring back. This is the usual thing that you all need to do. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay.